Jesus Christ. Our text for today is the Holy Gospel reading from John chapter 11. I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but I'm going to read verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." What do you say at a funeral? Yesterday was a funeral of our dear sister Lucille Hoffmeister. People come to a funeral and they want to be comforting to the family, and they say many things. I'm sorry for your loss. Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." If you go to the internet, you can find all kinds of things to the advice on everything, I guess, including what to say at a funeral or what not to say. Some of the advice of what not to say on the internet conflicts of what you should say it, such as the internet. Some of that advice is rather practical and obvious. It's probably not a good idea to say something like, "I know exactly how you feel. My pet chihuahua died last week." You're trying to share their loss, which is a good thing, but people don't want their relative compared to a chihuahua. And it's not really about you. Don't make it about you. It's not about your loss, it's about their loss. I guess the other rule that maybe is a good thing to follow at a funeral is not to tell the grieving survivors how to feel. They're going to feel the way they're going to feel. But I guess I'd ask you, why are funerals so hard? They're hard 2,000 years ago for Mary and Martha and the Jews who came to console her. Why are they so hard? Why are they so uncomfortable? Why is it so hard to find the right thing to say? I submit to you, it's because our emotions are raw at the time of a funeral. It's painful. There is a loss. It hurts. We just don't want to increase that pain at all by what we say or by what we do. And the truth at a funeral is plain. Any dishonesty is obvious. People see right through it. People see right through you if you lie about the deceased person. You want to be nice, but you need to be truthful. Maybe they lie about their relationship with the deceased person. Don't do that at a funeral. People can tell if you're lying or if what you say is not true and authentic, because at a funeral, the truth is obvious. The truth is that we're all born sinners and will die, at least our mortal bodies will. And the truth is, this person is dead. We don't like the word dead. We say it in our Apostles' Creed. Did you hear it in the baptism? Jesus descended to the dead. He's going to come back to judge the living and the... See, you're afraid to say it. The living and the... Okay. Well, at a funeral, we want to say things like, "She's gone," or "She's passed." Nobody really wants to say, "She died." Well, does Jesus use euphemisms to get around it? I mean, he says to his disciples, "Oh, Lazarus, he's fallen asleep. He's fallen asleep." Problem with euphemisms is Sometimes we take them literally and we start to believe them. When we think about death, we use words like past or asleep in Christ, because we don't want to hear that word dead or died. But that's the truth. And then we start to believe our little euphemisms, and we want to put that part of, that comes at the end of life, at the end of our mortal life, behind us or away from us, because we know it's coming for us someday. Death. Well, the disciples, I think John says, they just misunderstood Jesus. Lazarus is just asleep. Well, maybe he'll get better then. Sleep helps sometimes. So Jesus says plainly, no, Lazarus is dead. He has died. And then, a curious thing in our text today, I don't know if you caught it. John says, Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And when he heard that Lazarus was in this condition, he stayed 2 days longer. He didn't go right away. Like they expected him to. Like they hoped he would. When we have someone in our family who's ailing, and we pray for them, we pray for Jesus to fix them right now, Lord. He doesn't always. In this case, he didn't. He waited 2 days more. So Lazarus was clearly dead and buried and decomposing in his tomb when Jesus got there. That's why Mary and Martha said, Lord, why didn't you come earlier? My brother would have lived. And the Jews said, why couldn't he get here sooner and, you know, help them like he healed this blind man? He could have healed Lazarus. That's sure what they wanted. It's what we want when we're sick or when we know someone who's sick. And then, wouldn't you want to be this guy, Jesus, who can heal people? Wouldn't that be great? I'll tell you, if I went on all my calls and if I could heal someone like that, I'd feel great about that. Wouldn't you want to be the one, the cavalry coming just in the nick of time to save them? To save them from death? But Jesus stays 2 more days so that you may see the glory of the Son of God. Because what he's going to do here for Lazarus is important. It's important for you. This is what the Christian faith is about. This is what baptism is about. It's about the resurrection of the dead. Your readings today, long readings, thank you, Sue, are about the resurrection of the dead. As we heard from Ezekiel, way back in Babylon, these bones, I'm going to raise them from the dead. Thus saith the Lord, I will do it. And then Jesus comes and he does it. He raises Lazarus from the dead. That's what he does in Holy Baptism. If you've been buried with Christ in a death like his, you will be raised with him to a life like his. That's the power of baptism. That's the power for you, Josephine and Dorothy and all of you. My favorite part about this text where Jesus comes and he cries at a funeral. It's okay to cry at a funeral. There is a loss there. He's crying about what causes that separation from God, that death that our mortal bodies experience. That's when you go to a funeral, you start to feel the way Christ feels for you about your sin. That's why he came for you. That's why he went to the cross for you. That's why he came from the empty tomb for you. For you. My favorite part about this text is where Jesus says, calls out, "Lazarus, come out!" He speaks to a dead body, and Lazarus comes out. Did you ever notice that he doesn't just say, "Come out"? He says, "Lazarus comes out, come out." Maybe because if Jesus didn't say, "Lazarus, come out," all the cemetery would have been empty that day. But that day, he says, "Lazarus, come out." On the last day, he'll just say, "Come out." And all the dead will be raised. All who believe and are baptized will be raised to eternal life. Eternal life. Life like Jesus' life. Eternal and glorious and without corruption. And that death will have no victory over us. That's why our baptismal creed is what we read at a funeral. Because we're baptized into life through Jesus Christ. And these bones of ours will sometimes feel dry. They're going to be raised to without dryness, but with life, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit living in you. That is life indeed, my friends. That is life indeed. Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world." What a wonderful statement of faith that is. He is here. He has come. He has redeemed you and me. And if you want to know what it looks like, what that resurrected body looks like, look at Jesus. Look at him in his resurrection. Because he's your brother. So when Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again," he's speaking to Mary and Martha about Lazarus, speaking about Lazarus, our brother. He's speaking about himself because he, Jesus, is our brother. We will be united with him in a resurrection like his. What do you say at a funeral? You could say, "My brother has risen again, and so will yours." Amen.